continue our discussion of marriage and honor, and we're kind of going through the commands to show honor. So we're kind of talking about honor and respect. So before we get too far, what does it mean to show honor? What is honor?
Show authority.
Yeah, you show authority, okay.
Hold in high regard.
Hold in high regard, okay. These are all good answers, by the way, and open for more.
Show respect.
Yeah.
Give value to the other person.
Yeah, it kind of has this idea of esteem, right? Esteeming someone as more important or worthier or more honorable than you, right? So, you know, borrowing for you, Malachi, when the judge enters the room, what does everybody do?
Stand up.
They all stand up, and they refer to him as your honor, right? And he kind of wears a distinctive robe and everything, so he's clearly king of the courtroom, right? So that would be one way of just thinking about just this term of honor, which to a certain extent is kind of like, in our day and age, we don't necessarily have like an honor culture like they would back then. But showing high esteem, high respect, and we talked about, you know, when we look at this call to honor one another, sometimes when we look at marriage books and everything, you might want to just focus on the marriage text, not understanding that the entire Bible is about marriage, including all the one another commands. And then, so one of the ones that we looked at was Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. The next passage we're going to examine is Philippians 2:3, and a little background. In Philippians 1:27-30, Paul calls upon the church to live in a manner worthy of their citizenship in heaven, emphasizing the special importance of unity. But how are sinners to live in harmony with one another? Well, somebody want to read 2:3?
I got it.
Yes, thank you.
Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.
Okay, so what's the negative command and the positive command that we see in this passage?
The negative is do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit.
Okay, and the positive one?
In humility count others more significant than yourselves.
Okay, so how do the commands in verse 3 contrast with the normal way humans relate to each other? Yeah.
Humans naturally want to put themselves above others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the end result of that is ultimately utilitarianism. You know, in the eyes of people like Karl Marx, everything is about resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so it never has anything to do with treating others well or how you can benefit others. It's how do I gather the resources that I need?
What's in it for me, basically, yeah. Other thoughts?
It's not natural to count others more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not in humility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a natural response.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was thinking about the great prophet of this day, Toby Keith, and one of his songs, Let's Talk About Me. You guys ever heard that song?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, it's a classic. It's Toby great. Keith just, yeah, explains to you, like, I like hearing about you, but every once in a while, I want to talk about me, right? So there's this idea that in this relationship, it's about serving my needs, right? And what's the, what's the prognosis of that? Like, long term, if you have a relationship where it's, you know, let's talk about me, let's think about me, I'd like you to honor me, what will happen in that relationship?
Drive each other apart.
Okay, why is that the case?
You don't work together, you don't think about the other person, so you just think about yourself, so you put yourself on an island.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, if you just care about your own bacon,
yeah.
What happens when your desires clash?
Yeah.
Or there's a conflict of interest?
Yeah, Yeah, and I think there's a, you kind of have this soulmate theology that has kind of worked itself into the modern, you know, psyche when it comes to relationships, where people just naturally want to do this for the other person because it's in their best interest, and what they do for you is also in your best interest. So there's almost like this this relationship where there's no work. You know, you just complete each other and the relationship's easy, right? Leo, you said, I think not. Why is that?
Well, I think it's about, obviously, you're loving the other person.
Uh-huh.
So you're, in doing so, if the relationship can't be about you, because
mm-hmm.
that is not love.
Okay.
So if you're making it all about you, you can't actually love the other person.
Yeah.
And so if they complete me, it's all about me. That's selfish.
Yes.
That's not love.
Now I'm in a country song mood today. And I might be ruining the song for some people, but John Michael Montgomery, I love the way you love me. Which is just a roundabout way of saying, I love me. When you think about it, right? Because it's all about, I love the way you love me, right? So it's... You know, the idea of giving, right, is all about receiving and taking. And so this idea of doing what's best for the other person is really countercultural to the way we think
about it. Very wise parents who aren't here to defend themselves. If you have to tell somebody, I'm the authority in your life, or you're in your marriage, or if you have to tell them you're not loving me right, then there's probably something fundamentally wrong anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just the thing. Like, it's... Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more important than yourself. So does this passage teach that others this was kind of a confusing question a little bit, that others are more gifted, does this passage teach that others are not more gifted, valuable, or essential to the ministry? Why or why not? Somebody want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 28 to 31?
God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, hopes, administrations, various kinds of tongues.
Yeah.
All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they?
Mm-hmm.
All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they?
Mm-hmm.
But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way.
It's kind of an interesting passage, right? Because it talks about the greater gifts. That some gifts are greater than others, right? But they're still called to consider others as more important than yourself. Right? So who would be the most gifted man who ever lived?
Jesus,
that's right. And if you keep on reading, right, you see an example of this where Jesus basically regards you as more important than himself. Isn't that interesting? He was more important, so to speak. He regards, you know, you as more important than himself. That's why he laid down his life. Or you look at, let's say, a highly gifted, talented mother, right? Who regards a baby as more important than herself, is willing to lay down her life for that. So this is not something where you honor people based off of gifts or abilities or anything like that, right? It's rooted in, you know, the command that God gives us to do so. Does that make sense? So
what we've been just discussing in this is that God gives us those gifts. And
yeah.
None of them are better than the other.
Yeah.
It's just whatever he has given us.
Yeah.
And then what we use with that. So
mm-hmm.
that is not true. There are nobody's gifted more than the other. It's just whatever God has
given. Yeah, and no one is worth more than the other. Yeah, nobody is intrinsically worth more than the other, but even if they were, right, given Jesus, right, Jesus still laid down his life and considered others who might be quote-unquote inferior as more important than himself. Does that make sense? So you look at, like, you love unconditionally, right? It's not, is this person worthy of love? That is not something that kind of drives this. It's an expression of really counting others more important than yourselves. So why doesn't Paul qualify this command? In other words, why doesn't he say count elders as more important than yourselves?
Because it's not about power.
Mm-hmm.
It's about self-sacrificial love. It's about putting others first regardless of what control, authority, or influence they have over your life.
Yeah.
Because if you do give them honor based on those criteria, then ultimately you're actually failing to do anything but love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And even then you're not loving yourself properly because you're sinning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other thoughts? So what kind of character traits are essential in carrying out this command in a marriage?
Humility.
Yeah, what is humility?
It's basically, it's a denial of self.
Uh-huh.
Just being willing to swallow your pride.
Uh-huh. It's good. Keep going. I mean, other thoughts? What is humility? You talk about denial of yourself, willing to swallow your pride.
It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Ooh, boy, that's good. So, it's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Okay?
That's not my quote. I got that from somebody else.
That's very humble of you to say.
In a humility competition.
That's right. Yeah, he said that he had to be even more humble.
I think it's putting your own needs and feelings and wants aside. And you're deferring to others always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely how it expresses itself, right?
The meekness, I mean, it really is, it is always considering others more important than yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think another thing is, like, if you were to tell somebody, get some humility, what would be a plan of action for him or her to take? How does somebody grow in humility?
One of the most simple ways that my mother forced me to even begin was I could not eat until everybody else, or at least I could not get in line unless I was the last person in line for food.
Okay.
And
was this when you were a teenager and eating them out of house and home?
Basically.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't huge. I mean, it felt huge for me.
Okay.
But it's not a huge thing.
Intentionally putting yourself last.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Sure.
Other thoughts on how do you grow in humility? Yeah.
You know Jesus better and better and better.
Yeah.
The more you know him, he's the king of the universe and you die on the tree for him.
Yeah. That's good. You're going to say something?
I'm going to say through serving others, because if you're intentionally serving others, you're not thinking about you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's, they kind of work together, right? I mean, the greater you view of Jesus, the greater you view of God, you're going to naturally think far less of yourself.
Well, and God will eventually humble you. I mean, if you don't want it, he will humble you.
Yeah.
It will happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can do it willingly or unwillingly.
There's
right?
a great book in the Resource Center called Humbled. It's
Humbled?
Humbled. Excellent.
Oh. Yeah, that'd be a dangerous book to read. All right. Yeah, and I think that's it. I mean, so what does that look like in a marriage to consider one another as more important than yourselves?
Your needs are not more important than your wife's, or vice versa.
Uh-huh.
I think it's easy to think if one of the others is struggling, like, oh, you haven't struggled as much as I have, or you haven't had as hard a day as I have. Whatever it looks like, you like say no to yourself and say, how can I serve you?
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, humility and love towards your spouse looks like.
Yeah, you don't get into a hardship competition.
Right.
You thought your day was bad.
Yeah.
Right, that never goes anyplace good.
Right.
And sometimes that can be on a really hard day. Like you might have had a really hard day and they did too, and you put yourself aside to listen to them and help them. Which
mm-hmm.
subsequently sometimes can help you.
Yeah, like he got tasered 100 times or something like that. That's a hard day.
It also can put your hard day in perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, other thoughts on how you can kind of practice this, can consider one another's needs as more important than yourselves?
I think serving when you don't feel like serving. Just putting one foot in front of the other and doing what you don't feel like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And not, the older I get, the more I realize I can't trust my emotions.
Mm.
And I just have to do it. And then it's the reward follows.
Yeah.
Working with kids will humble you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes we, and this is the thing, like sometimes there's like a service trap where we may not realize it, but you think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set the table, put napkins under every fork, and my wife is going to go in and just say, what a husband. You folded the napkins? That's amazing. Wow. So many of my girlfriends will be jealous of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, and then she just says, oh, or something like that. And you're like, not that this never really happens.
This is very interesting insight.
Yeah, that's right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times, like, but when you're doing that, that's not necessarily service. That's trying to purchase praise. Does that make sense? So those are just some of the things to kind of think about. Like, the point is to serve, and sometimes when you serve, you get treated like a servant. But why resent being treated like a servant when you are a servant? Does that make sense? So, my phone's clicking. That's interesting. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for serving me in this way.
I think a good analogy is women who are introduced to motherhood, and you have this tiny little baby that's completely dependent on you, and that baby never thanks you for anything. In fact, sucks the life out of you.
Those teenage boys. Yeah.
Mine's almost 40.
Yeah. It never
ended.
But kids
are
great.
Yeah. It is. And that's why you have to believe it's better to give than to receive.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I think just thinking about the idea of like pouring in and pouring out, that with you, on the positive note, if both spouses are being filled in Christ, then their serving is out of an overflow of what's being poured into them. And so they're giving what they're already full. And when they're not, and they're serving, they're emptying themselves out and growing emptier and emptier. And they both become more and more.
Yeah.
Right? They're missing, they're expecting the spouse to, like you said, they want them, their spouse to fulfill them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this eager expectation and this need almost to have reciprocation, whereas when both spouses, sometimes there is no reciprocation with the husband or the wife, but if
mm-hmm.
you're loving them and serving them, you know, out of love for Christ,
mm-hmm.
you're already
yeah.
fulfilled in Christ.
Now I want to focus on a word that you said, needs. When people say needs, what do they usually mean? Wants, right? Like, what would be examples of that?
I need you to take out the trash.
It goes even more than that.
I need my coffee.
Need my coffee.
I need affirmation.
I need affirmation.
I need to be loved.
I need to be loved.
Shown.
I need
respect.
Respect. I need time by myself. I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
I need to draw this boundary. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when you kind of use this need language, it's kind of a way of obligating the other person to get your way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to say, I need oxygen, or I need food, or I need shelter, yes, you do need those things, right? But when you kind of like create these artificial needs, that's a very subtle way, I think, that people do an end around the need to obey God by fulfilling this command. Does that make sense?
Sometimes you do need to draw boundaries. But
I gotta explain
all of what you mentioned, like this list of things people say they need. And sometimes people do need to draw those boundaries, but also sometimes those boundaries that they're drawing they don't actually need them. So it's one thing to say, oh, this is a boundary that is healthy for both of us, and therefore we need it to honor
mm-hmm.
the Lord, and saying, I don't feel comfortable with you doing this ever at all, when it's something very basic. I don't know what that would be, but sometimes there's the...
I think it might be good to kind of do a little bit more of a dive into a... When we use healthy boundaries, what's meant by that? Like you always hear about boundaries in dating, boundaries in marriage.
There's this concept where, like, if somebody has hurt you, then I need to set up a relational boundary to keep you from me.
Hurting me, yeah.
From hurting me again. And there was a... I think it was in a podcast by Greg Gifford where he used a different term. He said, instead of boundaries, let's talk about role definition.
Yeah.
So instead of, I'm going to set up a boundary to keep you from me, let's talk about what our relationship is
uh-huh.
and what it should look like.
mm-hmm.
Instead of like, because at some point you start setting up all these boundaries and then you've insulated yourself from
yeah.
everyone. And boundaries work really well. Well, you like boundaries when you're setting them up against other people,
yeah.
but they're not so fun when other people start setting them up against you.
Yeah.
So,
that is true. Push with this boundary. Right?
Yeah. And so I think a better way of meaning it is role definition.
Yeah.
What are each of our roles in our
yeah.
relationship? And how do we fill those roles in a loving way
yeah.
for the best of our relationship?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Boundaries, the boundary maker makes the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the rules for your relationship with me. If you want to have a relationship with me, you need to comply to these standards. As opposed to, well, these are God's standards.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God says. And when you yell at me, that's actually violating God's standards, not my standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is not to be healthy or unhealthy, right? The goal is to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's the... Like, I think boundaries addresses some understandable issues, especially if you're dealing with, let's say, manipulative people.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to do that is not to just draw these artificial lines, is to confront the manipulation and the tactics that they're using, right, with God's truth.
Not
to have a healthy...
Not to set up my rules, but to enforce
God's
rules.
God's rules, right? That we are both under God's rules here. That's why we're talking about this. Yeah, so understandable concern, especially with manipulative people. But I think there's a better way than boundaries in talking about
it.
It
takes so much more work, Dave.
Yeah, I mean...
At the end of the day, it's way easier to say, I'm going to set this artificial boundary.
This is my boundary.
Instead of addressing, okay, you're not to act this way towards me, or that does not honor God, or... You know,
exactly.
Things like that. So it's way easier just to set it, and that seems to be what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, but you can't have a real relationship if you're always... Because it's just two people trying to control each other.
Yep, that's right.
Instead of bringing them under the submission to God and His will and His rules.
It's also building a lot of walls. I mean, you build a lot of walls that you just run into and there's never really relationship then. I love Ephesians 5. We've been listening to this podcast by Tim Keller, and he always refers back to 5:21 that we are submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Always.
Yeah.
That is foundational to how we relate to each other.
Yeah.
So it's what Scott was saying, is we're pouring
yeah.
out what is being poured into us by our
mm-hmm.
relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. Judy, you're going to say something?
Yes. Are you setting... Well, I'm going to say this.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I kind of set boundaries
mm-hmm.
with my niece
uh-huh.
because she has a very bad habit of using bad language.
Mm-hmm.
And one time when I talked to her, I said, you've got to quit saying this particular word or I'm hanging up right now.
Uh-huh.
One more time of that word and I'm done.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, I'm not sure if that would...
I told her later in a text why I did that and what the word she was using actually means.
Well, I think that the difference is, there's a difference between saying this offends me versus this offends God.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It does. It offends me and it offends God.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's not about sending boundaries. It's like, I don't set the boundaries. God sets the boundaries. And, you know, this is not something I want to participate in because I don't believe it would honor God to do so. So I'm going to hang out. So that's just a way of kind of reframing it. So I'm just kind of giving you something to think about because boundaries is just part of the modern vocabulary. But that's really an extension of you to have a relationship with me. These are the rules you must obey. These are my rules. And I understand it's dealing with manipulative people. I think there's a better way out there than just having rules to meet their rules, right? Then you just kind of get the standoff. So that's all I'm saying. So. Yeah. Have you guys all, we've all heard the term boundaries? Yeah, it's just part of what we do. So let's look at another command here. How husbands are to honor, and this will be interesting. 1 Peter 3:7. In the context, Peter adjures women to submit to their husbands, especially to the rotten ones, as an act of faith and trust in the Lord. No, not one to let the husbands off the hook, Peter goes on to give them the following command. Somebody want to read this for me? Good.
Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may be not hindered.
All right. So, in what sense, sorry ladies, just quoting the Bible here. Okay, in what sense are women the weaker vessel, and how do men often respond to this reality?
Physically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I looked it up. 90% of men are stronger than 90% of women. And the strongest of men are way stronger than the strongest of women. Right? So, I mean, it is true.
How God made us. By design.
Now, how do men sometimes respond to this reality? Someone want to read that passage in Colossians? Okay, do not be harsh with them. Why would that be a temptation for husbands?
Makes it easy to get your way.
What does it mean to be harsh?
Through your speech or through your actions, like just, I guess harsh is being more like mean to them in a way.
Mean? Okay.
Put yourself like self pride.
It's
kind of like a
threat. There's a dominance.
There's a dominance, there's a threat. Okay. And I think that's kind of what we're getting to, right? Somebody's harsh. I don't owe you courtesy. I don't owe you politeness. You do it. You know what I'm saying? It's a display of dominance in some way. And why is that a temptation for husbands?
It's because we can get away with it.
Yeah. Now, I would say it's a temptation for parents towards children, right? Because it talks about don't exasperate your kids, right? But you can be harsh with somebody who is your inferior. Like, if you're harsh towards, let's say, a judge in the courtroom, everyone would be like, right? it doesn't work that way. You know, harsh is the privilege of the person in higher authority. I'm not saying it's right, but that's how it's perceived. Yeah, Deborah?
I think it would be a lot easier for somebody in, like, authority to be harsher than for somebody who's, you know, not in authority. Like, it's more common to find parents abusing their children as opposed to children abusing their parents. And it can go both ways.
Yeah, if they're elders, for sure. When the parents reach, like, elder abuse is something that does happen. But it happens when the other person is weaker.
Right. It's
weaker.
It's about
power
and dominance.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's just part of the, I mean, there is a strength differential. And honestly, if there is no God, right, and no authority, a man could make his wife comply to his will through domination, right? That's just the ugly reality of it. You know, man apart from God. So this is kind of interesting.
Well, and at the time, it was legally and morally seen as good and virtuous to dominate your wife.
Yeah.
And so he's speaking against their culture. He's speaking to our culture. We're like, I mean, be kind to your wives. But he was speaking against that culture.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Roman dad, Roman husband, you could beat your wife into submission, right? And there was nobody to stop. And the only reason why we have these rules about abuse in our culture is because of the Christian ethic about the dignity and worth of women and all people, right? So as much as people might blame Christianity for abuse in marriage and stuff like that, the reason why we even have a category for that is because of the biblical teaching about the dignity and worth of women. So it's kind of an ironic twist, isn't it?
And the alternative leads to more abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does Peter command husbands to show honor to their wives as weaker vessels? You know, what's the reason? Why does he say you need to show her honor as a weaker vessel? Fellow heirs of the grace of life, right? They have as much right and privilege to the kingdom as you have, right? And how do...
He also says, so that...
Yeah, so that what?
Prayers may not be hindered.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. What do you think is meant by that?
Like, we're just, oftentimes we're just reading this morning about God desires righteousness and mercy and justice over sacrifice. Lip service. And
yeah.
So don't come praying to me if you're going to abuse and be harsh with your wife.
Yeah, if you're going to treat your wife this way, I don't want to hear it.
So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you're in sin, sinning against your wife in this way, you know, God's pretty upset. He's pretty upset. So, how do men sometimes respond to the weakness of their wives?
Kind of abuse it.
Okay.
Resent it. Right.
Yeah, like
I mean, because a woman, not only physically, but I mean, I think there's exceptions to this rule, but sometimes women show more emotion, even so. Like even sometimes just like emotionally, like mentally, like something that would come across harsh to us. Like I don't know. He tells me all the time, like you know, like. It's fun for the guys at work to joke around, not in a crass way, but just to be kind of like, you know, kind of like what Pudge would feel like to a guy, like but like with words, like, and they're just having fun with each other. He says the same sort of thing to me, and I'm like, and he's like, I'm sorry, like I forget, like you know, like right, and it's not like this happens all the time.
Don't worry.
It was 10 years ago. I've changed. Yeah.
But that's the point, is that like even just like in internally, you know, women are different than men, and so back to the question, like that can be like, you know, like a man can like resent that sometimes, like
yeah,
what's the big deal, right? Like come on, just get over it, like that kind of thing, like like not like really understanding that this is a, like I remember hearing one time like why Paul was using that language of weaker vessel,
mm-hmm.
and like they would have like, I don't remember, so I'm gonna probably botch this, but
mm-hmm.
like they would have seen that as something like an actual object precious to be taken care of, almost like with
like what you find in a museum.
Right, like I am showing honor to this. That's much different than looking down on it for its beauty.
Yeah.
For its delicacy.
Yeah, for sure. Scott, were you gonna say something?
Just kind of difference between like weakness or also it's like there's a greater sensitivity to perception, to the way like when Carissa and I have examined, we relate to others and to each other, that she picks up on a lot of things that I would miss, body language, tone of voice, all when you're communicating.
Yep.
Which is great, but also in our marriage, if I don't recognize that, then little things that are little to me may communicate larger things to
uh-huh.
her. If my tone of voice is louder, or if my body language is communicating something that
mm-hmm.
she may feel that I'm upset, angry, or maybe
mm-hmm.
I'm communicating that without even realizing it, because I'm not in tune with that as much. And so there's a sense in which you
mm-hmm.
may need to learn to live with your wife in an understanding way, with like even not knowing what you're saying when you're saying it.
Yeah, I think another thing too is like a man and a woman could say the same thing to each other in the same tone of voice, but the same facial expression. But it's way more menacing to the woman than to the man. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so part of it, I think, is just understanding that there's different rules. Well, you told me, you did this to me, I could do it to you. No, it doesn't work that way, right? When you have the position of authority and power, anything that you do can be more threatening, make them feel more vulnerable, make them feel more weak. Does that make sense? So this is like one of the verses, I think, that really changed the culture that allows women to flourish, that men are obligated by God to restrain their strength. And to use it in certain, you know, not to despise the woman for being weak, right? Where might makes right, you know, survival of the fittest, you know, just being stronger. But I don't know, I mean, but there's also, I think, a recognition of the different gender roles, too. Like, we had a real interesting conversation with Julia last night where law school is like this sociology lab that she's in. And she's just seeing the difference between these men and women, and that the men are more aggressive, bombastic, can be more intimidating, and they're good lawyers for that. But she talked about how they kind of need good women lawyers to learn empathy, to be nice, to connect with clients. And she just sees how there is, we don't do ourselves any favors when we just say that there's no difference between the genders. Did I get that right?
That, or that there's one that's just, this is the superior way and the inferior way.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's we're complementarians, where the genders complement each other. And you don't resent it, right? So, I mean, why can it be difficult for men to show honor to their wives?
They don't understand us.
Yes.
You look confused, sweetie.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what you meant by that. It's there is a mystery to women that sometimes men have to learn, right?
Tread carefully.
I am treading carefully.
Just kidding.
Yeah, there's. Yeah.
It's true, and I don't take offense at that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. You know yourself well enough, we are very hard to understand.
Thank you for saying that.
So, this is a question to the women. Are women mysterious to other women, or is just the men are clueless to it?
Just the men.
The women understand one another.
Sometimes we don't understand ourselves.
Honestly, that's not true.
But you know the whole stereotype of, like, you watch a game the football game with your wife and she's asking you, well, what does this mean? Why do they wear different uniforms? What do the numbers mean on the back of
what's
the, you know? Yeah, why are they throwing that yellow thing on the field? What is that? You know what I'm saying? What is offsides? I don't see any size. You know what I'm saying? With me, I might watch a female drama with Becky and I'll just stop it. I'm like, okay, why are they giving each other looks? Or the classic one is Pride and Prejudice, where they, the scene where they walk around the room and all the women are going, oh my, oh. I'm like, okay, they're walking around the room, why is that a bad thing? Well, it's because they're displaying their form and their body to, you know, Mr. Darcy in this scene, okay? And that's bad because, right? So yeah, I'm trying to figure it out myself. So thank you for saying, but you know what I'm saying? Women are just, they're just attuned to, they're able to see things that we don't see. And so in light of, yeah, go ahead.
It reminds me of, if you guys know Paul Meinson, he has one of his sons has some autism.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he doesn't, like, he's like, well, he tells jokes. He wants to know how to tell jokes. He doesn't know why they're funny, but he wants to understand why they're funny and try and tell the jokes. And he's like, so it's like, you might not ever understand, but you have, like, it might not ever be funny to you, but you have to learn to understand. So it's like, you don't know why it's that way.
Yes.
You know, you're like, why does it work this way? Okay. And it doesn't make sense, but that's just the way. So he'll tell the joke, and like, you're supposed to be funny right here. You know, so when you're relating to your wife, you might not ever understand why she is that way, but.
So men are emotional autists, is what you're saying.
Emotional autistic. Right. We don't understand it, but we just go, yes, if that's what you say.
You just go with flow.
Come on, yeah. I mean, but the thing is, like, to be understanding, I mean, it involved me, like, pausing it many times. Like, what's going on here? Okay, why are they giving each other looks? Do they have subtitles for these British
that's
accents?
That's what you want to do in life.
Yeah. Yeah, so part of it is you do have to. Lauren, so women, be patient with a man who's trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying.
We just want to know you're trying.
Yeah. Yeah, how else can men, why else can it be difficult for men to show honor to their wives?
It can make them seem weak.
Yeah, build that out a little bit.
By showing, like, honor, it's making something seem more important than yourself, and so that's where you have to figure out the difference between dominance and leadership.
Yeah.
And so by serving her in reality and showing honor to her,
yeah,
that's more important than what's important to you.
Yeah, there's a sense, if I treat her like she's more important than me, then she might think she's more important than me. And then how can I leave this marriage? Right, that's the twisted logic. Right, that's why, I mean, you guys ever notice how, like, encouraging other people can be kind of hard, especially if you might perceive that they're better than you? Why is that hard?
The only reason that would be hard is if you thought you were better than them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you put others first, then that's not hard.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain diminishment when you encourage somebody or speak well of people, right? Like, you're really good at this. You did this really well. Do you know what I'm saying? I admire this. You're basically, every time you elevate other people, you kind of diminish yourself in the process. And that's hard for a lot of people to do because of pride. Yeah. Yeah, why else might it be difficult to show honor? If you've been married for a long time, maybe bitterness. Right, where you don't want to reward somebody for good behavior after the way you've treated me all these years. You want me to do this, right? So it's kind of a hard command. I mean, honor in marriage forces humility. So positively, what does it look like for husbands to show honor to their wives in marriage? And I'm gonna ask you ladies, like, if a man wanted to honor you, I mean, I think about the question of that King Artaxerxes gave to Mordecai. How does somebody show, or no, to Haman, yeah, how does somebody show you honor? But is, I mean, if somebody were to, how do you feel honored? Like, what do your husbands do, or what would you imagine your husband would do? For those of you who aren't married yet, right? That would show honor.
Offering to help.
Okay.
Like, just in whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Offering to help. Judy?
Show appreciation.
Show appreciation. Okay. Other thoughts? Becky, you've got thoughts. Go ahead.
I have a lot of thoughts. I mean, if we're walking, if I'm with you and I'm opening my own door, then you haven't shown honor.
Mm-hmm.
And you taught me that. So,
yes.
Yeah, like that's a way that you continually honor me, and you've taught our boys to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the, when you see me doing something that you know is going to be physically hard for me, you just step in and you're like, I'm here, I'm going to do this instead. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's just, it's honoring to me. It's not that I can't. It's just that you're like, it's easier for me than for you. I'd love to
mm-hmm.
do it for
Let
you.
Let me get that dictionary off the shelf for you.
Yeah, so I think things like that, or just noticing all the many ways that I'm serving you through the day
mm-hmm.
is honoring.
Appreciation is big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Other
taking
ways?
Taking time with, like, taking
mm-hmm.
time of day.
Yeah.
Becky said, like, you just want to know you're trying, right? It's like,
uh-huh.
you make yards of the yeah, it's good time to
yeah.
understand us, so be willing to show us that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one thing I would add is valuing input.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a good idea. Okay, I haven't thought about that. What do you think about this? Do you know what I'm saying? So that's a way of showing honor where I think that you can really help me. And I'm because one, that's I need help. And two, I think you're gonna bring some expertise and insight and wisdom which I don't have with this, right?
And I think another really big thing is a woman wants to know that you speak highly of her to other dudes.
Yeah.
That's really important.
For sure.
Because we don't want to be the butt of your jokes any more than you want to be the butt of ours.
Yeah. Ball and chain, all that stuff is like, yeah, it's not good. Okay, anything else? Okay, we'll go ahead and pause there. Tanner, you're teaching up front next week, right?
I can.
What? No, when are you doing the sermon?
Preaching.
February 16th.
16th, and then, okay. So we're going to negotiate who's going to do what with Scott, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Scott, are you going to teach in that? Well, you might have. We'll talk about it. So I'm going to be gone.
Let's just figure it out now. Let's just
yeah, we'll sort it out. Yeah, back in it, we're going to be gone for a couple weeks. So and I'm going to have all kinds of opportunities to show honor and appreciation to my lovely wife. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go on to the next part of our service. Well, Father, I do thank you for this time to get together and learn about what it means to show honor. And Father, we're just mindful of the sacrifice of Christ, how he esteemed us as more important than his own life, and he redeemed us so that we might serve you and serve you by serving each other through honoring one another. Help us to know how to apply those in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.